Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Hey, Kathleen.
This is episode 120.
And
We're
it's Fascism Friday.
Fascism Friday. It's November 13th, 2020. And
Friday the 13th. Fascism Friday the
wow,
13th.
what?
That's like double fascism.
Yeah.
We go.
How Friday the 13th in 2020, what could go wrong? Before we dive into the ways that our lives are miserable under the Trump administration, we should introduce ourselves. I'm Mark Van Sunik. I'm the director for the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And actually, when you said that, though, what I thought, the first thing that popped to mind is that 2020 has been so psychotic that maybe it actually makes Friday the 13th not that bad. Like maybe there's a
Yeah,
reverse
it's
effect.
like double negatives equal a positive.
Right.
That's
Yeah.
mathematical almost.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
So yeah, it gets depressing reading the news a lot, but there's been just every day there's something delightful coming out about how what Trump's doing to leverage this failure of his at this election. It's been pretty astonishing and disturbing. I joined Parler today, which is the social media that all the conservatives are joining because Facebook is so totalitarian and liberal. So,
Yeah, and Mark joined it about 10 minutes before we started the show, and I wanted to see if he could get kicked off before the show started, but
not yet.
that didn't
I only
happen, not
posted one
yet.
thing. I started a little argument with Dinesh D'Souza, but I don't think he probably will read it. Hopefully one of
Yeah.
his minions gets upset and
Yeah.
reports it. And I was respectful, but strongly disagreeing. So.
The topic today is really based on a lot of the discussion that's been going on around like what is Trump actually doing here? Right? Like what's he doing? So he's obviously lost. I mean, there really is zero question about that. In fact, there's so zero question that even his own lawyers are now quitting these fake cases. So just about an hour ago, all of his Pennsylvania lawyers walked off the job, just like, this is ridiculous. We're not even going to do it anymore. But he's doing something, there's been a lot of interesting discussion about what it is. And what it is beginning to appear like is that basically he's moving on to another chapter of his reality TV show. And I think this is one of the ways in which, those of us that still think that like politics is a thing and countries are a thing and policies are a thing, that we have not really caught up with this fact that there's just a huge percentage of people in this country right now who do not see these entities as real things anymore, that they're just caught in this reality TV show, and that the entire world has become this just one episode after another of this crazy show called the United States of America. And so, we're now just moving on to a next episode. And the next episode is in which, Trump begins to tour the country talking about how bad the government is and how, the Democrats have had the socialist takeover. And it's very, very interesting. It's very interesting.
It's bizarre. Like he's got a couple rackets going besides contesting the election results with
Right.
widespread fraud, which I've been listening to people talk about this. It's fascinating, the unreality that they live in. But then also, like, And he's going to make bank. And this is I read this article that apparently Eric and Donnie Jr. are urging dad to like keep pushing because this will be good for the brand. But Ivanka thinks that this might hurt the brand, and now might be a good time for him to pull out before he burns too many bridges. So, but the whole conversation seems to be about what's the best thing for the Trump brand.
Right.
And to me, this is like totally like that's why he did The Apprentice. He didn't do The Apprentice because like he does those things to increase his overall brand. That's always his end goal. Becoming a dictator for life would be great for his brand. But, you know, he's got a lot of agitation to build off of. You know, another parallel with reality television here is, you know, those dating shows where they have like 12 women compete to marry the one guy. Jill Millionaire,
The Bachelor,
that sort of stuff. Right. They found that, like, if you put a bunch of people in a house and have them like cut off from the rest of the world, where they have a forced myopia, and make them compete with each other for the affection of one person, it just causes you to fall in love. Like you, like would never like that guy in real life otherwise, but the conditions create this like psychosis almost. And right. So this is. There's something in there about how Trumpers are right now, sort of like growing myopia, their own social media, their own television networks, going to these events where they get to praise their leader.
Right. Well, and the other thing about these shows, right, is that it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, right? So that because it's all about, you know, creating the brand and the image of each person. So you've got, you know, Don Jr., he's the cool, suave guy, you know, Ivanka, she's the hot babe, you know, so-and-so, he's the loser who's making a comeback, right? And so it just keeps spinning. I mean, that's the amazing thing. Like the people that lose in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they then have their own shows or they get to be on the next time. You know, and you look at worldwide wrestling, which is also, you know, Trump's big thing. I mean, he loves that. He's really involved with that. It's the same thing. You have all these people. They have their image. They have their brand. They have their fans. They have their chants. They have their labels. They have their own products. Right. You know, Trump Steak, Trump TV. You know, now it's the, you know, Joe Biden Cupid doll that you can, you know, do voodoo things on, whatever is going to be. And it just keeps going. And there is no point to it. That's the interesting thing. You know, again, somebody like myself, like, I actually think there's a point to the government or to the United States or to policies. Like, in reality TV, there is no point to anything. Except it's simply about the continued adrenaline rush, brand marketing, making more and more money, losing money and then covering it. Like you mentioned, The Apprentice, that was because he had a lot of debts he had to pay off. And so he's like, well, let's just do The Apprentice. And he made a ton of money on that. But it all just rolled into his debts from the casinos, which, you know, honestly, you got to be a pretty bad businessman to lose billions of dollars at casinos.
I mean, he's a bad businessman and he's a good agitator. So he knows how to
leverage. Well, he's a great marketer.
Which that ends up like helping him maybe at different times. The wrestling, the WWF, now WWE comparison is really, really fitting because remember how like 10 years ago, Trump was still like a Democrat? And he switched because it was advantageous. And it reminds me, there used to be this wrestler named Sergeant Slaughter who, like right around the first Gulf War, dressed in fatigues and he was super patriotic, but then he lost and then he came back as the tag team partner of the Sheik and he started saying, I hate America. I flipped the total other way and become a super villain. And it's like, because that was going to be better for his character and for Raiden.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wait, the Sheik is brainwashing him. So there's all this, you know, wrestling was the first reality TV show to begin with.
Yeah.
But this totally explains how Trump approaches things. He's not really ideologically driven. Some ideological postures might fit his personality better. Like fascism works better for him because he's more of a populist appeal kind of guy and he's kind of a dick. So fascism works better, but if there was a benefit to be had for him slamming fascism and becoming more of a centrist or a Democrat, he would do that.
Nope.
He would do that.
Nope.
Comments coming.
All right. We got comments coming in.
Amy pointed out, like, this is, don't forget me, we. Is that, I know people are leaving for that, but are they particularly conservative? I don't know much about them. There's been so many of these that have popped up that have failed. It's hard to keep track of them all. Jim has a question about what are your plans for production and message for 2021?
Yeah.
We're just going to keep doing this until we feel like we should stop. But if we, if any networks are out there and they want to fund, like, higher production and take us to syndication, yeah, we'll listen because money talks.
Yeah. Well, and since it's episode 120, nice round number, we could mention that, you know, if you want to send us some donations to keep us going. I mean, not getting donations hasn't stopped us, but it would be nice to get some if you've appreciated this.
So people know that this is based, this is sponsored by MICA, the Minnesota Institute for Contemplation and Healing. And so if you want to support this production that we're doing most weekdays, donate to MICA. You can Google it or look on Facebook.
Yeah, so on the transmission.
Also,
page.
MICA in general does things, and then the Center for Prophetic Imagination does things. So, if you want to support our broader work, check both of those places out.
Yeah.
Especially because this November is kind of the beginning of giving season for the end of the year. So, we will keep doing this, but, you know, the projects we have outside of this need donations too. Mm-hmm.
And unlike Trump, we're pretty bad marketers. So, yeah.
I've been getting trolled lately, and one of the ways that I was trolled is like people, because I ask for money, donations. That's how someone was criticizing me for being like one of these religious hucksters who's exploiting people. And I'm like, I make the rough equivalent of minimum wage. So it's not like I'm
so you're a religious hunter, like, but you're bad.
Oh, anyone, yeah. So I really need to. Too bad I didn't go to Trump U and learn some of his skills. Kathleen writes, I posted my progress in healing from a severe break in my toe. A Trumper responded that Biden will take away my health care. His supporters are still there and are totally delusional. Kathleen, you have. I feel like you have these really sad stories about the people around you in your life.
I'm just thinking that guy's probably setting up his Christmas tree with all the guns, right?
Gun ornaments?
Wasn't it the gun ornaments? It was some kind of hilarious ornaments like that. She had a friend that was doing.
Well, and then they can put a little blonde wig on top of the tree. CK writes, the New York Times said Trump was going to take over where Rush left off, and the Trump family was going to groom Eric and or Don Chukachi for 2024. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I've been reading these articles about how we should be worried because the next fascistic leader will be more competent than Trump, which would prove to be Junior Gut. I think Ivanka would actually be more of a threat.
Yeah.
As far as children going into politics, she seems to be a little bit more graceful and savvy. Good morning. A lot of people saying good morning. Gus writes, just to be clear, Facebook is awful. We're not disagreeing with you. Although we're broadcasting on Facebook, so kind of biting the hand that feeds us, I guess, by saying that. And there are plenty of reasons to leave, but it only works well if you leave en masse for something better. I'd love to be able to port my connections to a different platform that's less invasive and makes money another way. This is why Parler is likely to be modestly successful, because they're going to get a big chunk of people at once, a center of gravity. Unlike other platforms I've joined and then I found two friends on it, and so then I just don't go back. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I mean, this has been happening with social media now for a while, right? I mean, Facebook at this point is pretty much for old people. You know, most young people have moved to, you know, Snapchat or, you know, Instagram, whatever. I mean, there's always, you know, new things popping up, and that is certainly going to continue. But yeah, there is a funny thing about this that reminds me of, you know, the phenomenon of conservative churches splitting and people leaving because the church isn't conservative enough, right? I mean, now, you know, Fox News is not conservative enough. And basically, Trump spent all day yesterday tweeting trash about Fox News, which, again, if you think about what's going on in this country and, you know, 150,000 people getting sick every day, over 1,000 people dying every day, all this stuff, like for the president of the United States to be worried about his opinion about Fox News, again, shows to me how his focus and interest has nothing to do with this country, with the Republican Party. It's just about he's, you know, it's just about him. And so now he's going to create this alternative platform on all, you know, there's this new other TV station that's it's uber conservative. There's the social media, all of this. And yeah, and even the Republican, one of the Republican commissioners in Philadelphia said yesterday, I cannot believe the incredible level of desire for misinformation and lies right now. I mean, so this is a Republican. This isn't a Democrat. This is a Republican. Mm-hmm. Even he is astounded at this kind of mass psychosis that is going on. And yeah, and all, and Trump just sees that as a business opportunity. That's all.
Scott writes, bad businessman, great marketer. Yes, it's all spectacle and distraction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kathleen writes, I have felt forever that we promote brands when we identify with sports teams. This starts in grade school. We are trained to support our tribe. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's also an eerie similarity between how this Trumpian movement works and how evangelical subculture has worked. Mm-hmm. We're kind of past the high watermark of contemporary Christian music in that scene, but then there's now we have more films, but it's all this sort of weird self-referential universe that you can live within a bubble. And it works the same way. I mean, lots of groups, like you could say the left is like that, but there's a particular way that evangelicalism functions as a way that denies the reality of the other stuff. And so I feel like this is one of the things I can't tell whether or not this mass exodus to Parler will be helpful or harmful in the long run. Like it's good to not have, it's good to like push them off to the side in some ways. But if, on the other hand, like this increasing echo chamber where further and further right ideas become normalized is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Steven writes, I was a huge WWE fan back when it was the WWF. The wrestling analogy is spot on. I'm curious if you want to comment, Steven, who your favorite wrestler was when you were back in the day. I'm curious. I was a Hulk
Hogan. Well, and of course, a lot of this shift into the political realm of this started in Minnesota, right? I mean, we, you know, we ended up with a pro wrestler for governor. And yeah, and so this line between reality TV, which of course, if you know anything about how those shows are made, it's not real; it's all fake. And reality has slowly been becoming blurred for a long time. And you know, and one of the things that I do think is important to sort of point out, other than just bash the whole thing, mm-hmm. is that in some ways it does satisfy the pain that people feel around the fact that the government and the political system actually doesn't work for them. And so if I just turn the whole thing into this sort of entertainment joke, then that makes me feel a little better. And so then at least it's kind of fun to pay attention to mm-hmm. in this weird adrenaline rush sort of way.
CK writes, the famous line is any publicity is good publicity. And I think Trump acts that way. So like even bad press, yeah. he tries to spin into good press. And that's one of his secret powers, I think, his superpower.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he totally understands that. If he is in the news cycle every single day, then that's a good thing for him.
That's his governing strategy. Like, you know, it's true. But conservatives, if you say, oh my God, Trump said this, conservative will also often say, he's just saying that, watch it, what he does. And there's more truth in that than a lot of Democrats want to believe sometimes. But at the same time, it's still dangerous to stir that up. And the things he's doing are bad enough to begin with anyway. But he definitely knows dominating the news cycle is good for his brand. Amy, just to expound on the MeWe, says MeWe is an alt-tech social media and social networking service owned by S-Gruples.
S-Gruples. S-Gruples. You have to say that with a German pseudo-Nazi accent. S-Gruples.
A company. What basically their light approach to content moderation has made it popular among conservatives, conspiracy theorists, particularly those among the anti-vaccine movement. Okay, so it didn't necessarily start as an alt-right place, but it was a perfect feeding ground for them. Got it. Okay. I've lost track of where our comments were. We got a lot of comments coming.
You're right after Amy there.
Scott writes, as soon as I get my first monthly patron, I'm going to kick you my $5 a month. We'll take it.
We'll take it, Scott. That's great. The pyramid scheme. So donate to Scott so that Scott can donate to us.
Please, Jim writes, thank you. Please keep Micah and your other ministries in our view. Just so people know, Micah is spelled with an H. It stands for the Minnesota Institute for Contemplation and Healing.
Yeah, like the book in the Bible.
Yeah, so I think Jim's commented before that he'd like it if we shared more about our ministries and our work sometime, which we don't really do maybe a whole lot, and maybe we should. So that's a good reminder. Yeah. Jen writes, I'm looking at Community X for Social Next. It's founded around activism. I've never even heard of that.
No.
So left is not as good at marketing because, like, I'm kind of their market, and I haven't heard of it. TikTok is becoming popular with more progressive youth.
Right. So TikTok is, yeah, now that's a big one among young people. And yeah, they're doing all kinds of interesting things on there.
I'm definitely, like, I know what TikTok is, and I've never installed it. A lot of kids also use, there's like a messaging. There's all kinds of apps. And I'm already with my sons, like, I want to get on this. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, I used to be the tech guy. Now I'm like, confused old man all the time. Discord, that's what it is. Once I get on Discord, I'm like, what? Discord. That doesn't sound at all. What is that? But it's a platform. Tyler writes, have you guys watched The Social Dilemma?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tristan Harris has been making me think a lot lately about the effects of social media.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about it. I'm not concerned for myself because I feel like I finally found a good balance in my life.
That's what everybody says.
But I've gone through times where it definitely makes anxiety and depression worse unless you have boundaries. And so kids that can't remember a before time don't even know what they would do if they unplugged. And that's where I get really nervous.
Yeah, I mean, my critique of The Social Dilemma is that it felt like a bunch of these young white guys opining about how they had, you know, created the first example of manipulative evil in the history of humanity. It actually felt incredibly narcissistic to me. There's no question that this particular thing functions in a certain way and is highly manipulative. And but that's not the first time that such a thing has happened, and it's certainly not the cause of evil in society. But yeah, it's an incredibly powerful thing, and the more we can be aware of that, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, and it gives people who want to make money off us and exploit us more tools, and they tend to have more of the cards. So that's what disturbs me more than the the system itself. Like, I could conceive of a social media platform without some of those problems. So I don't know if it's innate to social media, but it is innate to social media under capitalism. Yeah. The way it's functioning now, it just intensifies things that were already problematic.
But we, you know, for example, I mean, you go back to the Salem witch trials, right? I mean, that was an example of mass hysteria. You know, certainly on a much smaller population scale, but within a community no less destructive, mm-hmm. that was populated by a certain malformation, you know, inherent in a very basic view of reality. And so, you know, you can find lots and lots of examples. You know, a lot of the pogroms that Luther started in Europe were similarly the result. You know, he by the end of his life became incredibly anti-Semitic and would write these negative things about Jews, and there'd be some rumor that Jews were eating babies somewhere, and suddenly, you know, there'd be a rampage in a city, and they'd burn the Jewish section of the city down and kill lots of people. So I mean, this is a phenomenon that happens to human beings. We are susceptible to brainwashing. And yeah, so it's another tool for that.
It's interesting somehow that the eating babies remark reminded me of the, I don't want to spoil it, Mandalorian. It's Lutherans are more upset at the Mandalorian than they are. That's kind of funny. Just to think about.
Hey man, baby Yoda's got to eat, you know?
Funko, baby, you know, company that makes those little bobblehead things, created one with a little canister of fish eggs they're selling, or frog eggs or whatever it is.
Yoda's they never show Baby Yoda eating. I thought it was great that he finally got some nourishment.
He ate that frog early on in the first
season. Oh, right.
Anyways, I'm sorry for taking us off track, but it's been blowing up everywhere, that Mandalorian episode.
I know.
Karen Rice, good morning. I want to know how you two are doing and feeling yourselves. I watch you nearly every day for a dose of sanity. Thank you. And I hope you two are managing okay personally during these difficult times. I mean, I'll just be brief. You know, the hardest thing is watching my son have to deal with this as an only child in the midst of a pandemic. And sometimes I get bummed out because it's hard to feel like I'm being effective at stuff. And so sometimes I get a little glum. Especially because I've been getting a lot of shitty hate messagey stuff lately. So, but generally speaking, I'm doing better than I would have expected. So there's that.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing about myself. I mean, when this whole pandemic started, one of my comments was, I'm really glad that I've been doing spiritual practice for 40 years. it helps a lot. And, you know, and at the same time, I feel incredibly pained on a daily basis at the amount of suffering that's going on, and particularly in connection with, you know, what's happening to people in healthcare, what's happening with all these people who are sick, and then living in a failed state is really weird. I mean, I find it to be, you know, I can definitely look into the abyss of sort of terror and anxiety. But generally speaking, yeah, just keep meditating. That's my advice. Keep meditating. We did this class on Catherine of Siena, and she has this awesome image of walking around the tree of charity on the path of self-knowledge. So just keep walking around the tree. Yeah. Thanks for asking, writes, though. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Series writes, and Trump will grift his own social media platform like how he did with the university.
Yeah, Series, that's great, right? I mean, soon there'll be like, you know, Trump messaging is some new message platform. Yeah.
He'll be able to go back to the whole Trump University idea, and it'll actually really work this time because of how much of a cult following he has. Jim asked Dan if the Micah website has come on, the new one.
Yeah, the new one's up. We actually had some problems with it this week, but it's up. Looks really beautiful. So it's micahprays.org. So like the book in the Bible and then P-R-A-Y-S.org.
Steven's saying that The Undertaker is his favorite wrestler. God bless you, I guess. But ever since he buried The Ultimate Warrior alive, I've never been able to forgive him. The U.S. is already a living echo chamber before the internet and Facebook. It's true. Of most nations, we're the most echo chambery. It is called segregation and classism.
Yeah, and American exceptionalism, right? Totally. Which is, to me, and this has become so obvious in the pandemic, it is the backstop or maybe the wall that prevents self-reflection, right? So if, you know, there are still people in this country who are thinking that we are doing the best at dealing with the pandemic, right? We are actually doing the worst. I mean, we are number one, but we're number one on the bottom, not number one on the top. And so when you think you're the best, you don't listen to anybody else. Like there's nothing else that can come in. And
So when does this, how conservative can you be, fall apart, or does it?
It keeps going. You know, we lived in this teeny town in Vermont called Andover. There were like 300 residents in Andover. And Andover didn't even have a store or anything. The only thing it had was a post office, a town hall, and a Bible-believing church. And the Bible-believing church had like 25 members, super, super conservative. And a couple of years after we moved there, they had a falling out and they split. And all these people, you know, like five of the 25 or six of the 25 went to an even more conservative, smaller church. And so it just like keeps going. this weird iteration of things.
Scott is telling us that Martha Hennessy is the granddaughter of St. Dorothy Day, sentenced today for the Kings Bay 7 direct action. That's been in course for a while. Several already given years of jail. Love and support these comrades.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for updating folks on that. CK writes, remember when people didn't take Ronald Reagan seriously because he was an actor?
Yeah.
Now look where we are. Thanks, Ronnie.
Yeah. Oh, and growing up in California, I remember it very well when he was, you know, thinking about running for governor. And I remember, you know, my parents and all their friends thought it was a joke that there was no chance that he was going to win. Yeah.
Thanks, Ronnie. Kathleen writes, I remember when TV was promoted as something that would educate us. have you watched Ancient Aliens? we would learn about science, other cultures, and learn new languages. But we got I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver. No. Yeah, that's the thing. Like this tool, the television could be, well, it is amazing at points. Like there's amazing things that come up from television, but it's driven not by a sense of what the common good is. It's driven by making money. And so if that's your primary impulse, it's not going to go, you're going to end up exploiting humanity in order to get more money. So this is why capitalism is problematic. I would love to see what social media and television work like in a socialist anarchist utopia. That'd be wonderful.
Well, it would look like this. Like, this is awesome TV.
Yeah.
And we're not making any money.
But we'd be,
what it looks like.
We wouldn't have to make money because we wouldn't be worrying about dying or not having dental work done.
Yeah.
So people would be able with less money to be, it would be creative, just like how it is in activist circles. With arts, the arts, like people just make do and they get really creative and have fun together. So
that's happening. We're on episode 120. That's true. We are a beacon of light in the darkness.
Yes. So this brings up the Benedict option. Basically this idea, it's very evangelical sounding, but I think the dude's Catholic, right? Or I can't remember the guy's name.
fallen Dreyer. Catholic or something. Yeah,
Ron Dreyer. This idea that, well, really, if we are losing the culture war, instead of trying to fight it, we need to create our own enclave. And so we talk about this a little bit from a positive side. Mm-hmm. I guess he's coming, so I'm going to mute Dan. Let you start talking.
Uh-oh. Something's happening to Mark. That There's baby Yoda egg that he ate.
Hanging back, which is really not good at this moment. But let's keep going.
All right, we got to keep going. We're over time, man.
Even though those have been groomed to flock to authoritarian leaders for decades, so it's no longer surprising to me that they support Trump. That's right. Ed writes, we somehow got stuck and refuse to evolve or just don't.
Yeah, I've been talking about that quite a bit recently. We have not evolved, and we need to. Really nice.
Glimmers of awesomeness, like Dan was talking about with social media and stuff. So there are people growing, but our system, I mean, we're reaching the destructive end of the system we're in, and we have to move past it.
Yeah.
For our own sake. Kathleen writes, isn't it interesting how babies become part of the propaganda, whether it is eating babies?
Yes.
There's something about, you know,
emotional attachment.
The actual voiceless, there's that too. Like, it's going to use people who don't have any agency in the world and try to be crusaders for them, so then we can assert our own agenda into it. So there's that piece. And then there is something about babies that's sacred.
Well, it's deeply biological, right? Yeah. You're threatening the future of our species or ourselves. Yeah.
Julie writes, nice hearing your live voices again, even if only for a few moments.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Julia. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Good to see you. Dorinda writes, all this self-absorbed entertainment from sports to reality TV through social media is an echo of that. Religion is the opium of the people. And so that so occupies the human existence that keeps them someplace between asleep and numbed from their own reality.
Yeah.
This is it's how apathy works. Like, so we are conditioned to avoid pain. And so if we start feeling any discomfort about reality, we can go be numbed. Like, this is and capitalism thrives off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Dreyer is now Orthodox. Catholicism is not pure enough.
Yeah, see, that's how it works. You keep splitting, you keep leaving. That's really pretty funny.
Jump sides on that filioque controversy. CK theology nerd joke. CK writes, remember when Fred Rogers went in front of Congress and got funding for public television? And now look where we are. Thanks, Congress.
Yeah. Well, and now, you know, amongst the right, public TV and radio, you know, is seen as this great enemy of freedom and this terrible, evil, social, communist thing. You know, so, all right. Well, thanks for all the great comments. Really fun to talk with everybody. And so pick your favorite star, maybe draw a cartoon, send it in, post it on the transmission page. We could start our own little stable of reality TV political wrestling types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something.
I'm assuming we'll see you on Monday, everybody.
Yep.
Pending the Civil War and all sorts of bad things that could happen. And we'll figure out before then what we're talking about. But until then, we'll see
you. All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.